Talking Travel Time with Sally Lucas, and she's just popped into the studio.
Literally.
Literally. And I believe we're going to Europe today, Sally.
We are. We're going on a journey through Europe, talking some about some of the lovely little places you can include in your itinerary, and also some things you can do for free.
Ooh, I like the sound of that. Free's always good.
I like it too. And how you can detour and do something different in a city.
You're going to talk the travel and I'm going to listen and wish I was there.
You're not going to do it, Dennis, and run the program with me.
Well, I'll do my best if I've been there, but we're going to start with Europe. And,
we are.
It depends where in Europe you're starting.
It depends
with.
Where? Okay. Now, this is just talking about the highlights of Central Europe. And a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, have been to Europe, have probably been to these places that I'm going to talk about. But I'm just revisiting. And just, I think it's nice to reminisce and remember, even if you haven't been back for a while, what you did experience when you went there. I can always remember my first trip to Europe, which was back in the 60s, and I just always wanted to go to Switzerland. You know, the chocolate box
it.
Picture of Switzerland. That was just, England was never even on my radar. It was always Europe.
Wow,
Europe
okay.
was my pool. That's where I wanted to go. And I still remember some of the most beautiful parts of Switzerland that's still sitting in my brain, vividly imprinted.
Lucerne?
But now some of the smaller ones like Interlaken and Grindelwald, I mean, just those magnificent little villages and just absolutely beautiful.
Lutherbrunnen.
Oh, yeah, Lauterbrunnen.
Lauterbrunnen.
And the Trummelbach Falls that are all forming inside a cave. So many beautiful parts. I'm just revisiting some of these highlights, which you say you probably have been to. And starting with Vienna, and of course, it's rich in traditions of classical music and dance, of course. And of course, it's famous Lipizzaner horses as well, if you ever get a chance to do that. But the waltz was first introduced to modern ballrooms in the 17th century. And again, it's one of those dances, isn't it? When you're a young girl, you always had to learn, well, I did in my era, how to do the waltz. It was one of those important dances, and you used to go to dances in your halls, your community halls, and you learnt the foxtrot and the two-step and the quick step and the
I didn't get to learn that. I learnt bush dancing and square dancing.
Oh no, forget all that. That's not. Oh no, no, that's rubbish. Says me. Growing up in a different era.
Yes.
But you can also go and see the former residence of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. And it was really interesting today on what's the gentleman's name? John Doremus. He did a segment. Oh, it's so funny. And I'm talking about him as well on Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. And I learned a lot about Mozart in that little segment today with his wife. You never hear much about his marriage side or any side of it. You really only hear about the man and his music.
That's right.
But anyway, so you can get a glimpse into his area, his rooms, where he composed some of his greatest works. And, of course, it's famous for other things as well, like pastries and sachet torts and all sorts of things, isn't it? So Vienna's wonderful. Another area is the Black Forest region. I, again, remember this from my first trip to Europe. What a beautiful part of Germany that is.
It is.
It's stunning. And you've got charming little villages, beautiful woodlands, lush vineyards. And, of course, it's an area renowned not just in Switzerland but for its cuckoo, can't even say it, cuckoo clocks.
I was about to say that. You could just,
and glass,
abundance of cuckoo clocks and those steins.
And glass blowing as well. So, and also, as I said, don't forget your culinary delights, your Black Forest cake, of course, which then there's spatzel and there's schnitzel and all of that.
What's a spatzel?
It's more like a, if I can relate it to it, like a pasta type consistency, that sort of thing, yes. Like a bit like gnocchi or...
Yeah, nice.
That sort of, yeah. Then in the Netherlands, you've got the Kinderdijk windmills, which is taking you back in time because this is a UNESCO World Heritage Site and it's home to 19 well-preserved windmills built around 1740. That's a long time ago to manage water levels and prevent flooding in these areas. So it's really remarkable when you think that they're still standing there, that such Dutch ingenuity, you know, back in that area in water management. You know, it's... We did some wonderful things way back when, didn't we?
We did. We did. I think we still do some
little
wonderful
means, some brilliant minds, you know, but they didn't have the tools we did or the access to information, you know. They had to find out for themselves and see if it worked and, you know, there was no dictionary, no encyclopedia yes. or no computer. You know, they just had to find out by experimentation. So it was really remarkable. Back to Germany again, the Romantic Road, another area as well. Now, it was established in southern Germany in the 1950s to boost tourism and revive the post-war economy. And it's an area renowned, of course, for its lovely fairy tale castles and medieval towns and, again, picturesque countryside. And one of the notable towns, of course, is Rothenburg, the famous walled city where you can walk around the ramparts and everything. And it's been preserved like it wasn't, you know, damaged during the war or anything. So it's an intact, virtually medieval village, which is quite wonderful to visit.
That would be great to visit.
And there's all sorts of wine trails, as we know, all around the Danube, the Rhine and the main rivers. They're all famous for different wines, like their dry Rieslings, their Grüner Veltliners, you know, Silvaner wines. And again, don't forget the architecture of Europe. You know, whether it's the beautiful Cologne Cathedral with its massive spires, or whether it's in Budapest with your Parliament building, or it's just, you know, you walk around with your mouth agape, I think, when you go to Europe.
It's just full of history, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, every corner you turn, there's going to be something as well. And as we started with Switzerland, but I hadn't got to it on here, but I was going to talk about Switzerland as well, and Grindelwald, as I was saying, where you can do a cogwheel train as well, and you go up through this mountain pass situated between the Eiger and the Löberhorn Peaks, which is just wonderful. And you've got Lake Thun and Lake Brienz as well. And it was a spa town that was considered it would cure the ailments of 19th century Europeans, because it is famous in lots of areas for their spas and their health resorts. They're very, it's a very important part of their life.
Wellness,
the health spas and the wellness. And as Dennis talked about, you know, even in his program, a lot of the medicinal and herbal remedies that have emanated from Germany in these areas that they consider a very important part of their everyday life. So that's just some of the things you might have been, or places you might have been to or might consider revisiting. I just consider Europe is wonderful, and I just love sitting down and watching the world go by and walking around an alleyway where I might get lost to find myself somewhere and find my way back again. I think that's half the fun.
Yeah, it is. There's so much to see and do. It's just unbelievable. You need, you know, more than you know, a couple of weeks to see.
But, yeah, I know. I always say in Paris I'd love to have enough money and time to go there and have 18 weeks so I could spend a week in each of the 18 arrondissements and get to know what each one really has to offer. You know, and when you think about that, like 18 areas in the one city that you could, and they're all different.
That's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can just get involved in so much. Like, they've all got their own little markets or their own specialties. You know, each arrondissement is different.
There you go, lots of options there.
Yeah.
Talking iconic castles.
We are talking iconic castles and palaces of Europe. Not all of them, of course, but mention some of the ones, I guess, that we know and are more famous again. So Schönbrunn Palace, which, of course, is in Austria, and it is the magnificent home of the Habsburg dynasty, which is situated just outside Vienna's city centre. And that the origins of the Schönbrunns go back to 1569, when the Holy Roman Emperor Maximilian II built the original hunting lodge, naming it Schönbrunn. And so it's really got an interesting history. And in 1775, the Empress Maria Theresa, she was the only female ruler of the Habsburgs, commissioned the grand neoclassical colonnade that is around it as well, which is just an amazing place to visit. Another one is the Melk Abbey, which is also in Austria. And it's a beautiful abbey in the wine-growing region of the Wachau Valley. And it's just near the Danube River, west of Vienna, and it's home to a 900-year-old Benedictine Melk Abbey, which is a spectacular example of the Baroque architecture. It was rebuilt in the 18th century after the original 12th century structure was destroyed by fire, but it's still absolutely beautiful. It's got a wonderful library which houses priceless medieval manuscripts and frescoes, and just all these buildings, the interiors and everything of them are just spectacular. Neuschwanstein, we all know about Neuschwanstein.
I love that one. I've been there.
Yeah. I mean, in the Bavarian Alps, of course, the mad King Ludwig II. Often referred to as the fairy tale king. Construction began in that one in 1869. It was driven by his version of a medieval style castle that would embody his love of music and art, and the legends are old. So, yeah, that's one we've all heard about and know about. One I didn't know about is the Marksburg Castle, which is a place called Braubach in Germany. And it's carved into the slate of a mountain peak. And it's long stood as one of Germany's most formidable castles, built in the 12th century. And it's the only medieval era stronghold in the Rhine Valley that has never been destroyed. Which is just remarkable when you think about it. So it's witnessed the rise and fall of dynasties, you know, all the way along, and it's quite hard to get to, with quite steep to get up to it as well. So maybe that's why it's, you know, stayed as long as it has. There's Gottwig Abbey, which is in Gottwig, outside Austria's Orchau Valley, and it was built on land donated by Passau's bishop, Altman, his name was, in 1083. Wow. So that's, again, the age of these things. Just astound you, does it? Every time I say these words, 1083. What are we now? 2025. Mm. So it's been a monastery that's been a centre of learning, art and faith for nearly a millennium there. Got a 900-year-old history and just got one of the most largest and most spectacular ceiling frescoes in the world. Look, there's just some. There's just so much over there. And also, just remember, there's a lot of free things you can do in cities. And we were just talking about Paris a while ago. They've got about 17 free, at least free museums you can get into. Just remember, most are closed on Mondays and some occasionally on other days as well, but certainly Mondays, occasionally Tuesdays. But there's lots of great museums. If you want to go onto free museums in Paris and see the list, there's just some fantastic ones. The Carnevale is one that I remember that going to as well, which is all about the rich and storied past of Paris itself and its beginnings, which is really interesting, from prehistoric times all the way through. It's a fascinating museum. And there's another one called, that female author, poet, she called herself George Sand. Do you remember that name?
No.
She did it because it was, female novelists weren't considered okay, so she took the name of a man, and occasionally she'd go around dressed as a man even, just to prove that she was, you know, a man, even though she wasn't. But apparently she had quite a checkered history herself, with lots of lovers and all sorts of things. But you can go to her museum and they reckon it's fascinating.
Sounds fascinating just talking about it.
I know. There's the Balzac Museum, the famous French novelist. That's another one you can go to. There's one for the Prefecture of Police. There's a perfume one. There's the Maison de Victor Hugo, where you step inside where he actually lived for 16 years. And so there's just... And the Musée Curie, of course, as we all know, the Curies were so famous, Marie and Pierre Curie, because of their wonderful, you know, discoveries as well. And that's just to mention some, but there's just so many that you can go and do these free museums. So
that's great, because if you're, you know, spending money to go overseas, it's going to cost a lot. To be able to go somewhere that's free while you're there, that's fantastic.
And often if you start Googling these days, which we always talk about, the more research you do before you go on a trip, the better holiday you're going to have, no matter where it's to. But a lot of these European cities particularly, and not just Europe, but certainly Europe has a lot of them, is people that give you these free tours that are local people that just want to, they're proud of their city and want to pass on their knowledge, and will take you on a walking tour for an hour and a half or so. So just keep that in mind as well. You know, look these things up or check with your travel agent if you're not sure where to look, because there's lots of things you can do that aren't going to cost you a lot of money.
And we like that.
Yeah. So spend it on your airfare, get a good airfare, you know, so that you know you're travelling with a good airline and getting a good price. But then there's so much you can do once you get there that doesn't have to be expensive.
Just make sure you go on the right day.
And stay in three-star hotels. Well, you're not in the hotel to live. It's not like you're going to a resort where you want all that sort of luxury, if you like, when you go to a resort. When you're going to tour a country, you just want a comfortable bed at night. Put your head down, clean shower, clean sheets, and then you're out all day.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that really makes sense, you don't need to pay for five-star accommodation. I never have in Europe, ever. And, you know, three and a half, that'll do me. Absolutely fine. Or, you know, B&Bs or whatever, you know, little pensionis. It's fine.
Yeah, you know, just check the reviews before you go.
Yeah, just check them and just, you know, have a look and Yeah, Bob's your uncle. I haven't had a problem with any of the places I've stayed at.
And it's hot deals time, Sal. Woo.
Absolutely. Yes, Europe 2026. I think most people that have booked for Europe this year have already probably booked, but start thinking ahead because that's when you get a lot of your early bird deals. Start looking now. And Travel Marvel, which is an Australian company, has actually introduced for next year, which I think is fantastic, which a lot of companies are now doing, new small group journeys, no more than 18 people.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a great number of people to travel with. And they've got a lot of journeys throughout Europe, you know, Portugal, Spain, Ireland, Scotland, Italy, yeah, all of those areas that you might want to travel in. They're now going to have small group journeys going there as well as their normal long journeys. They're not discontinuing those, but this is in addition to. Now, this to me, I was telling my husband about this and he was fascinated. I'd love to do it. These are some new itineraries from Coral Expeditions that they've got coming up, so later this year and into next year as well. And they're trips across the top end. So from Cairns to Darwin and vice versa, doing different things as well, which I think the history there, you know, going through Arnhem Land and those places that you can't really get to any other way, it'd just be amazing. I just think they sound incredible. You go all through those Torres Strait Islands as well, all the islands up the coast, then you drizzle away all across the coast into the Tiwi Islands, to Coburg Bay. And yeah, just if you're interested in doing something different, and they're also doing one with the Australian Geographic Society, going out to the outer areas of the Barrier Reef that are not normally visited. And this is all in support of course, contributing to the conservation of the reef. And this is, they're going to have lots of lectures on board. It's an exclusive voyage that supports the Forever Reef Project. So you could keep that one in mind as well. And that's available for this year. And then they've got other cruises doing the Kimberley and the other areas we've mentioned before. But I just thought that to do a cruise across that top end would be just remarkable. You're going to be immersed in Indigenous culture as well as seeing incredible islands and areas and wildlife that you wouldn't normally see anywhere.
What time of year?
Well, some of the departures, they do vary. As I said, we have got some this year. Some are in August, October.
Okay, so it's not like the real hot seasons.
Some they go into March next year as well. So there's a few different dates around for those. Yes, so just keep that. I just think that sounds wonderful. Mm. Paul Gauguin, the French cruise company, they've got final weeks on sale for up until the 30th of April, where you can get a $1,500 flight credit per person on 17 of their 25 and 26 departures around those beautiful islands, the Society Islands, the Cook Islands, the Marquesas, etc., all around that French Polynesian area. Just, again, places that you can't get to by any other means. No airports, no, you know, it's only by ship that you can get there. Viking, they've got their all-inclusive river, ocean and expedition voyage sale still on, where you can save up to 30% on a selected range of all their voyages, and that's as long as you book by 30 June, subject to availability. You've got some great savings there. And in Australia, Travel Marvel, who we mentioned are doing their small group for Europe next year, they've also got up to 25% saving on outback tours on their Kimberley cruising, their four-wheel drive journeys, South Australia, Northern Territory and outback Queensland sale. So just subject to availability until sold out, so keep that in mind. And also we've got incredible offer with HX. Hurtigruten, they call themselves HX now. It's their 130th anniversary since they started that company, and they're offering free suite upgrades on Antarctic cruises as well to celebrate their, subject to availability again, of course, to celebrate their 130th anniversary. And lastly, but not leastly, the other French company, Ponant, have got some wonderful discounts available where you can save up to 30% on their cruises. They don't, again, have a date. They have so many cabins, like with 30% off, and then once they're sold, it might drop down to 25 and then 20. So they sort of grade the discount. So the earlier you get in, the bigger the discount you get. And that's on a range of their itineraries, like, again, throughout different areas, the Kimberley as well as other areas that Ponant save. So just keep that in mind with them. That's how they work. It's save up to 30% if you get in early. The earlier you get in, the bigger the discount. And that's it.
That is it. Well, thank you very much, Sally. We'll catch up with you in a few weeks.
Yes, because it's Easter.
And then we've got Anzac Day.
So isn't it terrible? The Easter's flying by, so I won't be back until May.
No, you won't, but you'll have a nice few days off.
Yeah. Well, I will. I don't know about everyone else here at the station, but I know I will. Oh, well, someone has to do
it. That's right. That's right. Well, thank you very much. We'll catch up with
you
soon.
And wish everyone a wonderful Easter and Anzac Day weekends to stay safe and enjoy.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.